Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word. Any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, up made me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, hope you're not ready.
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Self himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness ever since the Declaration of Independence. We've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence that goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years they have fed you this. Foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Another edition of Your World News. I'm your host, Solomon, and got another exciting show for you today. Thank you for joining us at Your World News, and to check out, get more information from our media collective, which is completely community-centered, please check out yourworldnews.org. That's www.yourworldnews.org. And once you get there, you can click on the blog section at the top. Click on the blog tab, and you can get Just tons and tons of articles that are updated on a daily basis that will provide you news, information, content, and perspectives and analysis that you simply will not get from the corporate mainstream media. You will not get anywhere from the corporate media. You won't get it from the so-called, you know, liberal media. You won't get it from the white liberal media. You know, it's only in places like Your World News and Black Agenda Report and so many other independent media outlets that unfortunately are not known to the masses. But we can all change that by spreading, you know, the information in terms of the locations where people can get this information and content. So here we are. It is October 26, 2011, and we have a short but power-packed show. For the next hour or so, we will be joined by Naveed Nasser, who will be in the co-pilot spot today. Andrea Zamudio is still on assignment and continuing to do some excellent work, and we'll be able to engage her about that work and other projects that she's working on the next time she's with us for the ride. But today, you know, we're joined by Naveed Nasser, who is no stranger to Your World News. He's an independent journalist and has put in a lot of work as an activist. And, you know, we're looking forward to being joined by him to get his insight and his critical analysis on all things Libya today. We're going to be covering all things Libya today. Why? Because the corporate media is not covering it, and the so-called liberal media and the so-called progressive, you know, white progressive media is not covering it. You know, Democracy Now. We can't rely on Democracy Now to give a panoramic view and perspectives and analysis on things going on in Libya. We just simply can't. We can't. We know that now. I mean, they've exposed themselves. Al Jazeera, forget about it. So I'm gonna play this clip, and on the other end, we're gonna be joined by Naveed Nasser. And we're going to hit the ground running. But this is a clip that was put out there. This is why information is so critical, because months ago, in June, Black Agenda Report and Glenn Ford started to do analysis and coverage on what was going on, the onslaught, the Western NATO and U.S. onslaught and destruction of the North African nation known as Libya. Completely, you know, started to shell it with bombs. You know, we know that started on, you know, it was March 18th. But Glenn Ford and his comrades at Your World News, you know, have been covering this Western, you know, imperialist war for regime change, with the sole purposes of getting their hands on you know, resources, mainly oil resources that are in Libya. So they haven't covered, you know, the that's why the corporate media didn't cover, you know, the targeted killings and murderings of Black Africans. They didn't cover any of that. They didn't cover the fact that these rebels were going into Black communities throughout the country of Libya and targeting Black Africans. They didn't cover the fact that a former congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney, had a fact-finding mission there, where she and her colleagues brought back tons of invaluable information to shed a deeper light on what was really going on on the ground there. You know, they didn't shed to light that the CIA has had their nefarious hands in this whole Libya thing since day one. You know, with the involvement of Khalid Hifler and so many other folks. I mean, they just didn't do their job. And it's not that they didn't do their job because they're inept. They're very much, you know, they're savvy. This was a methodic, purposeful omission and marginalization of information surrounding what was going on in Libya. And beyond that, they just didn't give a damn about the murdering and killings of and the rape of Black Africans. So I want to play this. We're going to be joined by Naveed. He's got some really on-point critical analysis surrounding this. And you know, you're always free to call in if you choose to. The number is always 347-945-5191. That's 347-945-5191. So here's Glenn Ford. This was, and remember, this was months ago. This is in June of 2011, and let's check out what he had to say back then regarding Libya.
Cynthia McKinney says she now harbors almost a hatred for the special interest press because they are actively lying to us. I feel the same way about the U.S. corporate media, whose incessant daily lies about Libya are killing people and robbing them of their country. The U.S. press trumpeted the entirely unsubstantiated mega lie that Libyan soldiers were being fed rations of Viagra and ordered to engage in the mass rape of Libyan women. It was a total invention of the U.S.-backed rebels in Benghazi, and no doubt their American and European handlers. Now, even Amnesty International, which has never been a friend of Muammar Gaddafi's government, reports they have not found any evidence or a single victim of rape or a doctor who knew about somebody being raped. Nothing. The rebels and their foreign friends made the story up out of whole cloth. Such lies were used to justify continued NATO bombing of Libya as necessary to protect the Libyan people, to protect Libyan women from rape by soldiers. The massed corporate media have far more resources than Amnesty International or Human Rights Watch, which also found no evidence of rapes. The New York Times and CNN and the rest could have checked the allegation and exposed it. Instead, they parroted the damnable lie as if it were fact. Why? Because the lie about mass rape conforms to the foreign policy objectives, the war aims of the U.S. government. The U.S. corporate media do not search for truth. They search for whatever buttresses the American government's version of the truth. They are whores, mercenaries, and propagandists posing as journalists. In times of war, that makes them complicit in every war crime committed by the U.S. government. The U.S. media are killers, facilitators of the most horrible crimes. If they had bothered to check the rape allegations, they would have had to contradict Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who falsely accused Colonel Gaddafi of using rape as a weapon of war. The U.S. media would have had to discredit Luis Moreno Ocampo, the shameless U.S. butt-kissing prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. Moreno Ocampo now admits he doesn't have any evidence connecting Gaddafi to rapes, but he's indicted him anyway for various and sundry crimes that are just as illusory. These same media pretend not to see that which has been obvious from the very beginning of the Libyan crisis. The rebels use anti-black racism as a tool of war. They have slaughtered many hundreds of black immigrant workers, as well as fellow Libyans who are black. Right in front of the eyes of Western reporters in Misrata, who have made heroes and saints of the rebels, a whole neighborhood of black Libyans was ethnically cleansed, the residents sent into hiding with bounties on their heads. Fortunately, the Wall Street Journal saw fit to print this story, probably on the theory that business people need real facts to safeguard their money. Rebels in Misrata are threatening to erase the mostly black city of Towerga, just 25 miles to the south, off the face of the earth, and to bar the black Libyans from working or going to school ever again in Misrata. Along the road, the rebels have put up signs vowing to purge slaves and black skin. It has taken 4 months for one major U.S. media outlet to report on the race war the U.S. has instigated in Libya. So, yes, Cynthia McKinney, I hate them too. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to www.blackagendareport.com.
So, as I said before, that's just not the kind of critical analysis you're going to get from the corporate media. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Naveed Nasser as a previously, let you all know that he's going to be with us for the next 45 to 50 minutes. Naveed, you're on the program right now. It's a pleasure to have you on Your World News again. And I kind of just want to kind of hit the ground running to get your initial reaction to the targeted assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, the U.S. media's reaction, the U.S. reaction in general, and as we move forward to try to also get some more of your insight in terms of what do you foresee coming about with this NTC National Transitional so-called council.
Well, first of all, Solomon, it's good to be back on Your World News, and I thank you for the invitation. And as far as the aftermath of Gaddafi's targeted assassination and the targeted assassination itself, I can't tell you how disgusted I was by the spectacle that I saw, the cell phone videos that were released, the slow motion. I mean, you see things, every time you see it, you see new things in it. You see, for example, that they, one of the rebels actually tried to, and you can see this, one particular website I know for a fact put this out there, and I saw the video itself, it's hard to deny. One of the rebels was actually trying to sodomize him with a knife while they were, like, you know, pulling him out of where he was hiding. And you also see NATO forces right there on the ground while he's captured, right there. There's no plausible deniability. There's no deniability whatsoever. The fact that he was killed and the way he was killed, the fact that he was propped up in, like, some butcher's shop in Misrata for people to come and, you know, snap pictures of them with his body. I'm struggling. I can understand, not that I like it, but I can understand where the Libyan American community comes from in their hatred for Gaddafi. They view Gaddafi as the man who took away their power, their privilege, what they believe is their birthright. I'm trying to fathom why it is that certain sections of Libyan society itself, other than just like tribal loyalties, I'm trying to figure out what exactly they had a problem with regards to Gaddafi. Words like democracy and freedom are completely meaningless in this day and age. So when people tell me democracy and freedom, we want democracy and freedom, I press them. I press them, and if they can't give me like anything specific, then their opinion is absolutely worthless and meaningless to me. Here's some of the things that Gaddafi did for Libya, which all of these are going to go away. There's absolutely no chance that any of this will remain intact in Libya. Free electricity for every household, interest-free loans for students, an average salary for your profession once you graduate from college and can't find a job. Can you believe that? I mean, do you think that would ever happen in the U.S. where if you can't find a job in your chosen profession, you would receive what the average salary for that profession is until you actually get a job? You know, right. Unemployment. Every person receives $15,000 a year, every unemployed person. The state buys your first apartment or house for you after you marry. Free health care, free higher education abroad. Poverty rate of 6% in the country. Each newborn infant, a couple receives $5,000 for that infant's needs. If I had any money to speak of, I would be willing to bet all of it that none of this is going to continue under the new Libyan government. I'm baffled, and I'm baffled at the greed which this has been his death and the downfall of the Libyan Jamahiriya has been greeted with in so many circles that we know of, that we wander in and out of ourselves, me and you, Solomon. It's shocking, maddening. I will tell you this though. Gaddafi, whatever else people can say about him, they can't take away from the fact that he did not flee his country. He did not go into hiding. He was there fighting alongside with his son and fighters that are loyal to the resistance. He went down like a hero, an African hero. And that's what he needs to be. That's how he should be remembered. You know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And I'm glad you brought those things up, because those things were never, whether, you know, because I'm getting tired of people, you know, as you said, you know, there's a lot of reactionaries. Like when we step outside of the circles, many of the circles which both of us belong to, step outside those circles, you hear these reactionaries, these obsequious Americans who receive their orders in terms of how to think, what to think, and when to think it from the U.S. corporate media. You know, they continually sometimes, you know, create this illusion that there is like a liberal, so-called like liberal media out there, by using the standard of Fox News and say, oh, such and such Fox News. But when you look at MSNBC, look at CNN, look at ABC News, you know, Nightline, what have you, there was no discussion. What you just provided, that information that you provided, there was none of them. And this stuff is readily available out there. And it's not like Naveed, it's not like they didn't have this information. Of course they had that information. But their editors and their newsroom said, listen, no. Let's stack everything up. Boom. Let's stack everything up and create this monster. We got to create this monster, you know, because, you know, yeah, you know, we want to make our you know, our buddies in Capitol Hill happy, you know, because they're fornicating with them anyways. I mean, you know, the deregulation in 1996 and further deregulation of the limited media that we have in this country has been made possible because of the exchange of money and power, from, you know, the corporate media to the to politicians in Capitol Hill and vice versa. But none of that stuff was discussed. You know, the dinar. You know, you and I were discussing yesterday.
The gold dinar,
The dinar. A mother who gives birth to a child receives $5,000 U.S. The equivalent of $5,000 U.S. I mean, this is crazy. That look at the poverty rate in the U.S. I mean, you talked about the poverty rate there, 6%. You know, one in six Americans. That new report came out. You know, it's like something like one in six Americans is living below the poverty rate. I mean, they're astronaut. I mean, it's crazy. Like you can't find anyone in the U.S. who can say, oh yeah, you know, I get free tertiary education. Oh yeah, I get free universal health care. I mean, none of these things are available here in the U.S. And then you want to talk about injustice. I mean, you look at the mass incarceration of black people in this country. Look at the fact that New York City this year is on pace to reach 700,000 stop and frisk, and over 90% of the people being stopped and frisked were black or brown, black or Latinos. And, you know, so no discussion, and the vast majority of those people that are stopped and frisked, like over 95% of them, 90% of them, also, you know, have been found to do nothing. And so, you know, you want to talk about injustices, you know. And I'm glad you set that bar where you did by saying, you know, those people, a lot of those livings here in the U.S. Yeah, you know, it's clear, you know, because you know it's clear why they disliked Gaddafi, because of their political position and you know they didn't, you know, they were for, you know, wealth concentration. And, you know, and one thing that's not told is the vast majority of Libyans still back this guy, you know. And why did so many black Libyans, why did so many, you know, black immigrant workers, you know, from sub-Saharan Africa that were living, that chose to move to Libya, to live in Libya, there was no discussion why they were there, you know.
Right. Well, of course, we know they were all mercenaries, too. I mean, none of those people are actually Libyan. They're all from Nigeria. They're all, I mean, the degree of nonsense and racist nonsense that has been put out there is just mind-boggling, and it's just been taken absolutely at face value. Any person who's black is not an actual native Libyan. They're all mercenaries from Chad or Sudan or Nigeria or whatever. That's I don't understand how anyone who has ever set foot in Libya or has any knowledge of the country can say that with a straight face and think that no one is going to challenge them on that. I don't understand that. And the narrative that has been put out there is maddening. As far as incarceration rates go, actually Dr. Short said this when he was on your program talking about Libya, and it bears repeating. Libya's incarceration rate under Gaddafi was like somewhere in the 60th in terms of countries in the world. Between 60 and 70 is where its ranking was. The U.S.'s ranking is number one. Number one. You know, sometimes it's words just fail me when like, the degree of Orwellian propaganda that's directed against states that are targeted for regime change, and the degree that the extent to which the left, vast segments of the left, fall into line when the demonization right. campaign starts and when the war drums start beating. It almost makes me think that there's really, really very little hope for the left in the U.S. and that we, those of us who like see things for how they are and who want to create a better world, we need to focus on developing bonds of solidarity with struggles that are going on in the global South. That should be our number one priority, struggles that are going on in the global South and with oppressed communities and nationalities here in the U.S. If anybody else wants to come along, that's fine, but appeasing them, appealing to their delicate sensibilities about certain things, I think we need to throw all that out the window. I really do. I think those days are gone, and I think that, like, with the report that you were airing about Glenn Greenwald, the Greenwald report that you were airing earlier, I'm sorry, not Glenn
Ford.
Glenn Ford from Black Agenda Report, that was from a couple of months ago. Towerga, the city that he was talking about, actually has been overrun, and no one can find what's happened to any of its inhabitants. They're all gone. We're talking about, like, 30,000 people, at the very least, that have just simply vanished off the face of the earth. And no one gives a crap. No one's talking about it. No one is like, calling it a genocide or ethnic cleansing or anything like that. They're just gone, you know? And we saw the same thing happen in Sirte and in Beni Walid. And actually, Glenn Ford wrote an excellent piece about Sirte and Beni Walid being the last stand for black Libyans. This was where they were making their stand. And it's true, like, when you saw the captured fighters, time after time after time, they were black Libyans. Not African mercenaries, quote-unquote, but black Libyans. And when Sirte, I mean, there is still resistance going on in Sirte, but when portions of the city fell, when large portions of the city fell, you saw disgusting things being broadcast on Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, which is still, to this day, its coverage is even more sickening than the mainstream media in the U.S. I mean, they showed the footage of these captured black fighters being tied to turrets of tanks and various other things and paraded around the city. I don't know what is wrong with the people of Misrata. I've never met a Misratan in real life, but I'm very, very close to hating them, and I don't want to. I want to understand where they're coming from. I want to understand what their rationale is, but I almost don't care. I almost really don't care. I can't understand what would drive human beings to act this way, to... And they take great pride in it. Why else would you call yourself the Brigade for Purging Slaves and Black Skin? Why else would you call yourself that if you don't take great pride in it? As far as media goes, I have to throw this in there. It was one of the most disgusting spectacles out of this whole massive disgusting spectacle that has been the coverage of Libya. I saw Keith Oberman on his new show on Current TV interviewing Bill Press. Mm-hmm. And they were congratulating themselves on what a great job Obama had done, that he's such a better war maker than Bush. He's such a better war maker than Bush. See, it only took him 8 months to win this thing, and Bush never won Iraq. It dragged on for years and years and years. Meanwhile, Obama's gotten al-Awlaki, he's gotten Gaddafi, he's gotten this guy and that guy from al-Qaeda. He's a much better warrior in the Great War on Terror and, you know, and going after terrorist enemies, quote-unquote, like Gaddafi. That's the liberal left for you. That's where they are on this. They're congratulating themselves. Their boy won a great victory. I sound angry, and I guess I am, but this is one of the few opportunities I've had to really vent, and, you know, I thank you for it. I hope I'm not just venting. I hope I'm, you know, saying things that make sense, but if I don't, I apologize, because I realize some of what I'm doing here is venting and letting out things that I don't necessarily have a real-world outlet to let them out in, so...
No, that's what it's for. No, and you're doing a great job. You're venting and you're putting things. You're without a doubt buttressing and anchoring. That venting and your perspectives through that venting with statistical data and information that is vastly important, was vastly needed. It needs to be provided by any kind of reputable media. So that, citizens where this hell was being launched from, like the U.S., like France, like Britain, they needed to have this kind of balanced perspective so that they could come to their own conclusions. And when they got that, I'm quite certain that if they were given this kind of perspective, if for no other reason, which should be a secondary or tertiary reason, to stop war, but living in the capitalist cesspool, most people are programmed by the bottom line, if no other reason than to just prevent their tax dollars from escaping away from social programs and social safety nets, that it would be better spent on. But if more Americans were not indoctrinated with capitalism, they would want this kind of war to be stopped based on the fact that it number one is taking untold lives. I mean, you posted something on your Facebook a few days ago where it was a building that was just demolished, and you wrote in there that no one, who's talking about the family of five or six that lost their lives by way of this a missile that just completely obliterated the building. No, who the hell is talking about this? I mean, we're literally talking about tens of thousands of civilians have been killed in this aftermath, and people are cheering around, and yeah, it's sick. The clowns like Olbermann, and then you even watched some of the highlights from Bill Maher's last show when he had Rachel Maddow on there.
I don't know
if it was the last show, but yeah, and sitting there. I mean, and she's such a joke. I mean, when this whole thing started back in March and early April, her program along with Ed Schultz, they were some of the biggest cheerleaders. Biggest cheerleaders, go in and get them. And, people were like, get the hell off of this thing. Like, these folks are jokes, man. You know what I'm saying? As Naveed just said, they are jokes. Like this so-called liberal, they are as much warmongers, and they do. Glenn put something out. I forget when it was some time within the last year, but they without a doubt have blood on their hands. The corporate media, the folks, the talking pieces that have done the cheerleading, they have blood on their hands too, because they have an obligation, Naveed, as you know, they have a damn obligation to inform in a balanced way, to inform their viewers or their listeners or what have you, all right? But when they go ahead and they take the orders and they follow the script and they told the company line, in this case the company being, the U.S. government, and they just
right.
go ahead and told the company line, they have blood on their hands. They without a doubt have blood on their hands, because the only way to stop these damn wars of aggression and imperialism is for the people where they're coming from to demand and say stop, and to have a real critical mass, not just Naveed and Solomon and a couple other hundred or even a couple thousand people. We're talking about a real critical mass, but we can't get this critical mass when we have this one-sided information and having the bulk of the information being marginalized and omitted from the viewers and listeners, so that they can see what the hell is really going on and say, this is wrong. What? People are being targeted? What? Targeted like they were being hunted down like the Klan in the South in the 40s and the 30s and the 50s? What? That's
right.
What's going on?
Right. That's exactly what's going on. So I have to say this because it's bothered me so much. I've come across leftists, self-avowed leftists at least, who have essentially laid the blame for what happened in Tawarga. They acknowledged that something happened there, but they laid the blame for the people of Tawarga. They say the people of Tawarga organized and went into Misrata and were committing mass rapes. You talk about the Klan, that's exactly the propaganda that they use, that those, you know, those people are coming in here and soiling the purity of our women. And it's total, total BS. Even Human Rights Watch, which is by far the most agenda-driven, by far the most agenda-driven of the so-called human rights organizations, acknowledged that all these reports of mass rapes carried out by Gaddafi supporters were total hogwash. And this was back in, like, May or June that this came out, that these reports were complete hogwash. There was not one proof, one solid evidence of any of this stuff happening. And people are still saying that that's the reason that what happened to Tawarga happened to Tawarga. I'm sorry, no. It doesn't, no. It's lies. You're using lies to excuse genocide. And it's wrong on so many levels. It's wrong on so many levels. It's wrong because it also feeds into a racist narrative where, you know, black Libyans, just like black Americans, are only interested in your women, you know? Right. Like, that's why they were fighting. It wasn't to protect the Jamahiriya. It's not to protect Libya. It's because they want to come after your women. Again, I am sounding angry, and you know, I apologize, but
No. You're right on. And we have a caller, Naveed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take this caller and see what question he or she has to ask or whatever or comment they may have. Caller, you're on line one. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard. You're on Your World News with Naveed, Nasser, and Solomon.
Hello, Brother Solo, and to your guest. Assalamu alaikum to the brother, and peace and blessings to the family, all who are out here listening. It's been a while, Solomon. This is Sarah that I've been able to call into the show, and I just opened my. I'm not doing very well. I'm not going to tell that lie, because I've been in a state of flux for the past week, and this situation that happened to Brother Leader Muammar Gaddafi. First of all, my condolence goes out to the wife, because as someone who has buried a husband. This woman buried a husband and three of her sons and grandchildren and daughter-in-law all in 1 year. This is enough to put anyone in an insane asylum. So I feel for the sister, and I feel for the rest of the family and the tribe, the clan, everything I feel for them, because this was atrocious what was done in the name of the American people. And anyone who is sitting back on their hands and they're applauding it and they're so proud of this so-called self-identified black man who is the face of what has happened, Hillary Clinton and her butchering, that this woman laughed. We came, we asked, and he's dead and laughed about it. Somebody needs their head examined. They need their head examined, because this is a war crime that was committed. This was an assassination. This was a murder. This was a lynching. Any which way you want to wrap it up, this was done. And the one thing that I have to say is that all of these killers, in this age of high technology where they cell phone it and they videotape it, they're not going to be able to sleep another good night's rest for the rest of their life. They're going to be looking over their shoulders, because it has been broadcast around the world, and they can rest assured that somebody's going to be out there to avenge this death.
Right.
I'm not asking anyone to go there and do anything, but I'm just saying that, you know, they know that when you do something like this and you put it out there, and this man is well-loved by a lot of people, there are people out here who is going to go out and seek revenge for what was done, because this was no reason for them to treat him. I saw how they sodomized this man with the end of a bayonet rifle when they had him in captivity. This was so un-Islamic. This was so inhumane. And,
right.
You know, I was just stunned. I was stunned at the way what was done to this brother.
Right. I saw that same footage myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And let me just say this. I should have mentioned it earlier. Hillary Clinton is one of the most horrible human beings that on the face of the earth. I can't put into words quite how much I despise her as a human being. I saw that same footage where she was like, "We came, we saw, he died." There's nothing human about her. There's nothing human about her. And
there's nothing human about the whole administration.
Right.
It's nothing human about
that. The head of the State Department says a lot, in and of itself about what U.S. foreign policy is all about. That the fact that this vampire is at the head of the State Department says a lot about what U.S. foreign policy is about. And as far as people avenging Gaddafi's death, well, let me tell you this. The people of Misrata are not they were all brigades from Misrata who went in there and captured Gaddafi and brutalized him in the way you described and who murdered him. And the people of Misrata are not even loved uniformly by the NTC. It's quite conceivable that at some point they'll be out there on their own. And frankly, there are a lot of loyal defenders of the Jamahiriya, resistance fighters, still active in Sirte, in Bani Walid, and even in Tripoli. We saw last week where there was an outbreak of resistance in Tripoli, in places that they think that they've conquered. They're not in charge. So, sooner or later, what they put out there will come back to them. Their NATO allies are not going to stick around in the country forever unless they build an AFRICOM base, God forbid. And even then, there's no guarantee of security for them. The people of Misrata have a lot to answer for. They have a lot to answer for. They're brigades. They're thugs. They're racist, murderous, rapist thugs have a lot to answer for. And God willing, if there's any justice in this world, they will meet some of that justice.
You see, karma is something else. Like I keep telling people, karma is something else, and when you play around with it, it's going to, which this universe, it revolves around karma. Your injustice is not going to go unpunished. We all have done it because I'm a victim of it myself. When we think we get away with something or we get real comfortable, that is when that stuff falls back into your lap. So these people who have done this atrocious thing that they have done, and they did it on purpose. And like I've said, and I've said repeatedly over and over again, all these people running around here who are sipping the Obama Kool-Aid, I heard Reverend Sharpton, all of this so-called black leadership in this country, and they are praising him and saying that he's done such a wonderful thing. They are so proud of this man being a better killer than the previous four that was in the administration. Don't forget Hillary Clinton. She is Madeleine Albright, their protege, because Madeleine Albright did the same thing to the Iraqi children when she didn't give a hell. She batted eyelid for all those children that were killed in Iraq. So,
I will say this in Madeleine Albright's defense. At least At least she had the decency not to laugh when she acknowledged all the killing, all the deaths that were going on in Iraq. At least she had the decency
not to laugh about it because she went over there.
One slight notch above Hillary Clinton. Not much, but one slight notch. So anyway,
brother, she went over there, right? She called for this man to, we only hope he could be captured or killed. That's what she said 2 days before. Then she got the news, and she laughed about this man being killed. You know, Susan Rice, we need to drag her behind on into this one as well, because she is another one, too, that we need to put out there to expose her dirty laundry, because she is another bitch, too. I hate to say, I'm a woman. I don't like calling people out their name, but there is no other nice way to clean this one up, because she's all a part of this group.
I'm not going to, being a man, I recognize the power dynamics that are at play when I use words like that. So I'm not going to.
I'm calling for myself, and I don't like calling people out their names. And I had no other appropriate word that I could come up with at this moment in time to address this issue, but to call her what she is, because she has tied her, Samantha Powers, Hillary Clinton, all of them. There is no other way to clean this one up, because, like I've said over and over again, Brother Muammar Gaddafi, he loves black people. They send Condoleezza Rice over there, and he dismantled his weapon, paid that fine to Lockerbie. Never admitted that he did anything, just to get back into good graces with these people. And what this lesson has taught us is that you do not ever cut deals with your enemies.
Exactly. If there is a lesson to learn here for anyone out there who is in the crosshairs, whether it's Robert Mugabe, whether it's Bashar Assad, never mind the individuals, the countries of Zimbabwe, the countries of Syria, the countries of Bolivia, Venezuela, the lesson is never shake hands with these people, never try to make nice with them, never try to placate them, because they will always, always come after you until you're their slaves. That's the only thing they want. Anything short of that is unacceptable, so do not try to make nice with them. Do not try to placate them. Do not try to appease them. They're not going to accept that. They want your submission.
No, you should not.
Your subjugation.
They want to completely annihilate you. They are not going. They need to take a page out of Brother Castro's book. This man has allowed himself to stay out in the cold for over 50 years. He said he's not going to cut any deals with them, and you need to do the same thing. You see, they have a fool over there with Kim Jong-il in North Korea because he told them what he was going to do. He said, if you come over and you fool with me, I'm not giving up nothing. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy all the bases here in South Korea and in Japan. My weapons are not going to reach to D.C., but it's long enough to reach to Los Angeles. Fool with me and see what you're all going to get. They left him alone. They shut up. They left him alone.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you play hardball with these people, the way how they play cowards are like that, when you show them that you will knock the crap out of them, they're going to back the hell on down from you.
Right, right. I mean, that really is a valuable lesson to learn here. Mu'tasim Gaddafi is dead. Muammar Gaddafi is dead. Saif al-Islam al-Gaddafi is still alive and leading the resistance in Libya. Saif al-Islam was also breaking bread with all of these people who are now attacking Libya. It is an important lesson. It's a vital lesson. Never trust them. Never shake hands with them. Never look them in the eye. Never sign anything. Never agree to them with anything. They only want your subjugation, your submission, and your enslavement. That's all they want.
They want to
get on the
platter. They want to kill you, period. Let's call it what it is. These people that want to see you completely dead because they're not going to trust them. These people should have learned from the Native Americans when they said the white man speak with four tongues. They should have learned from all the indigenous people around the world where these people that always go is to commit genocide and they want to completely eradicate you and take over everything that you have. These people that do not believe in fractions, they want the whole damn thing. They don't know what's a fraction.
Right. Well,
so
they don't necessarily want to completely eradicate or annihilate entire populations because they need people to work for them. They need people to do the dirty
eventually,
work. For example, they're not going to be, in West Africa themselves extracting diamonds, or they're not going to be in Congo, extracting,
coltan or something.
Coltan, that's it. Coltan. They're not going to be doing that themselves. They need the people there to do that,
They're going
to
work you to death because their whole goal is that this population, they want to trim the population. So if they can get rid, and one of the ones they're trying to trim is the black and the brown population. They want to get rid of some of this planet. So if they can work their behind to death and commit some genocide and do the process to thin out the planet, they wouldn't bat an eyelid in doing so.
Right, right. No, I agree with you there. I agree with you there.
Sarah, thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much. Welcome, Brother Solo. And, like I said, my condolence goes out to the whole human family because this was a travesty and this is a tragedy that took place.
Definitely. And keep listening. The next clip, I think you'll like a lot. But
brother,
look forward
I'll
to having you calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right. Naveed, I want to play this. This was a couple weeks ago. This was before the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, but this was also Black Agenda Report. And I want to play this. I'm going to get your reaction on the other end, Naveed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Both NATO and their Libyan rebel surrogates express wonder at the fact that loyalist forces continue to fight so fiercely in the contested cities of Sirte and Bani Walid, despite being vastly outnumbered on the ground and unceasingly pummeled from above by the world's largest air armada. But one look at a picture of Gaddafi loyalist prisoners captured at a hospital in Sirte tells the story. They are all black. The assault on Libya has largely devolved into a race war, and the black soldiers are fighting for survival against the world's biggest lynch mob, armed to the teeth by the United States and Europe. Where are the people of Tawerga, the mostly black Libyan city that was wiped from the face of the earth by rebels? Many of those who were not killed or captured have clearly made their way to Sirte and Bani Walid to make a last stand against the racist killers that Westerners like Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Call revolutionaries. The rebels are brazen, absolutely without shame, in their determination to cleanse Libya of its black population. They are like Arab knights of the Ku Klux Klan, backed by a European and American air force, a racist militia whose fighters have vowed to purge black skin and who scrawl the Arabic equivalent of nigger on the homes of their vanquished black countrymen. Their rationalizations for ethnic cleansing and summary executions of black prisoners are quite familiar to the American ear, identical to our own practitioners of white terror. The Terwilligans raped women, the rebels claim, even as international observers report that it is the rebels and the riffraff that surrounds them who have systematically raped captured black girls and women. The Terwilligans, say the rebels, tried to slaughter all the Misratins, and this is something they have to answer for. Of course, the town of Tawurga, with only 30,000 mostly black Libyan citizens, could not possibly have terrorized Misrata, the third biggest city in the country, 25 miles away. But racists always claim to be the victims of crimes in which they themselves specialize. So the Tawurgans, standing in for all blacks, are labeled rapists to justify the racist rampages of the Misrata Brigade. According to a report by none other than the Voice of America, one-third of all prisoners of the rebels are black, and they appear to be the lucky ones. The captured Terwilligan men are nowhere to be found, an indication that the rebels don't give them a chance to surrender or keep them long after they do. Wounded blacks that have made their way to hospitals are snatched from their beds to an unknown fate. NATO says it will keep bombing until the last resistance to their Libyan rebel surrogates is crushed. That appears to mean until the last free black men in Libya are captured or killed, their families caged at the mercy of racist brutes and sexual marauders. Black civilians are clearly not the kind of people that the European Americans had in mind when they claimed to be on a mission to protect civilians. No wonder, then, that the defenders of Sirte and Bani Walid fight like lions against all odds. They are heroes, but they also have no choice. The racist death squads will have no mercy. Black skin will be purged. Black women raped and then killed. The first black president of the United States has unleashed a hell on black Libya. No decent person can ever forgive him. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
Naveed, I couldn't have said it better myself, man. And,
right.
And the last sentence, no decent person can ever forgive him. Unfortunately, that would mean there's a lot of, seem to be a lot of indecent people out there because we continue, Naveed, you've heard it, we've had these discussions with these people that continue to allow themselves to be drunk on this Obama aid elixir and continue to make excuses for this guy, knowing that if it was Bush in office, that they would be doing the complete opposite. They would be, you know, saying, oh, we have to demand an end to this, that, and the other. But, for some reason, this guy, with some of those folks, his actions are like his vile, reprehensible actions are like Teflon, man. I mean, he's like the Teflon man, with those folks who remain, these Obamanistas, and but it's just Naveed, it's absolutely reprehensible. I mean, it's absolutely reprehensible. This was an extrajudicial killing, and you and I know that it may have been some so-called rebel trigger man that put the bullet into Gaddafi's temple, but we know that the mob bosses that ordered this hit, come from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They come from Downing Street. They come from France. The little midget of Sarkozy. We know that it was NATO and this was the U.S. that ordered this assassination. It's just vile. I mean, Naveed, make no apologies for your anger. Your anger means that you are a human being. You are in touch with your humanity. You appreciate human life and you understand what injustice is. That is what makes you a human being. That's why you are angry. And unfortunately, we have a lot of folks who are, I don't know what has happened to their minds. And, for them not to be outraged at what we just saw, a targeted assassination, and before that, just the mass killing of civilians, you know, across the country, and then on top of that, targeted assassinations, targeted murders, Klan style, you know, of anyone that carried, you know, beautiful black skin with them within that state. This is unbelievable, man.
Right. I mean, I agree with every word that Glenn Ford said in the report that you just aired, and it's right on the money as far as Tawerga, Beni Walid, Sirte, and the black defenders of those cities. And it's also right on the money that you mentioned Amy Goodman. I need to say this. It needs to be said repeatedly, because Amy Goodman and Democracy Now have a lot of street cred within left and progressive circles. Libya has exposed the underbelly of Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. They are not to be trusted. They prove that they are not to be trusted when it comes to Libya. They prove that. They are not to be trusted when it comes to Syria, Iran, Zimbabwe, or any other state that is actually in the crosshairs of U.S., NATO, Western imperialism. No way, no how, do not trust them at all. Not one word that comes out of their mouths is in any way, shape, or form resembling the truth. And it's one thing to report on the obvious injustice that is going on in Palestine. It's actually, I've come to realize that Palestine is not, as much as I hate to admit it, Palestine is not the barometer by which you can measure who's who on the left, because only an inhuman, an out-and-out, genocidal Zionist could take the other side here. So Palestine is very easy. It's not the barometer to measure people. It's when the war propaganda and the demonization campaign gears up against the targeted state where people fall. That's how you measure people. And Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Have chosen to take the side of U.S., Western, and NATO imperialism on Libya, on Syria, on Iran. And although I haven't heard any programs on Zimbabwe, I'm willing to bet on Zimbabwe when the time comes. So that's how you measure. That's how you decide if you're going to trust a particular source or not. Where they come down, when the war machine gears up, when the demonization campaign gears up, when the war drums are beating. That's how you decide. And Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, not to be trusted.
Not at all. Not at all. And Naveed, you brought up something. Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, Democracy Now, it's a joke. I mean, and every, you know what I'm saying? When this stuff like started to kick off, Naveed, it was like, you would tune in, you would say, okay, you know, all right, everything has been one-sided. Maybe tomorrow's broadcast, you know, she might provide some balance. Maybe tomorrow's broadcast, she might provide somebody that has a different narrative. And it never came, Naveed, never, not once. The fact that not once did she have Cynthia McKinney on. You know, this woman had just come back from Libya, you know what I'm saying, on a fact-finding mission, you know, folks like, you know, Dr. Randy Short and Wayne Madsen, and the fact that she didn't not just have Cynthia McKinney, but anybody that was a part of that delegation. I mean, that spoke volumes. And I can tell you, as somebody, you know, who's proudly a part of the black radical community in the U.S., I mean, that's been a long-time criticism of Democracy Now! Is that there's a dearth of black radical voices that have been allowed to have any kind of space to speak their perspectives on her program. And this went well within the narrative that she's established for that show. And you're right, man. I mean, Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, it's a joke. It's a joke, and they are exposed for who they are as well. They are exposed for who they are as well, and they were complicit. They have been completely complicit in this, and not once, Naveed, not even on their program, that they talk about, you know, that, you know, Libyans, if they can't find, you know, adequate, you know, tertiary education or medical facilities within the country, they were given governments stipends to go to other countries and receive that medical, care that they needed to get, or the education, you know, petrol, you know, gasoline, right. $0.14 per liter, all this stuff. I mean, the guy was trying to help create a central bank for Africa, so they wouldn't be, so these African nations that right now are so dependent on the devilish IMF and World Bank and these, you know, these usury, you know, interest rates that they impose on these African nations that also prevent them from financing, you know, medical facilities and educational facilities. You know, he was working for that, working for a United States of Africa. These are all things that, as I said before, you know, petrify not just right-wing Americans, right-wing white Americans, but they petrify white liberals as well, because white liberals are about, you know, their version of racism is, you know, somebody being a white person calling a black person a nigger. You know, don't do that, you know. But when you want to start touching on white supremacy, institutional racism, neocolonization, they want no part of it, Naveed. No, they want
right.
no part of it whatsoever.
Right.
You know, they are worse.
Right, they are. And I need to say this something in regards to that, which is that I was my heart sank when I saw an official tweet from Occupy Wall Street, and I don't know who sends out those official tweets. I don't know. But I imagine that there has to be some sort of consensus approval. But the tweet was like basically congratulating the Libyan people on the death of Muammar Gaddafi, and not basically. I mean, that's what it said. You know, congratulations to the Libyan people on the death of Muammar Gaddafi and on your liberation. It's made me question some of the underlying things, and I think some of the problems that some of the concerns that me and other folks have had with some of the occupations come to light in those moments, which is the demographics, the background of these people in terms of, like, whether or not they're rooted in anti-imperialism or whether or not they're rooted in the idea that struggles of oppressed communities in the U.S. and around the world should take precedence, or whether or not they're rooted in some other narrative. I love the movement. I love the Occupy movement, and I love what's going on. But these things need to be addressed. And anyway, I wanted to put that out there because it really concerned me when I saw that. And
My question also, I had a question for you, Naveed. As being an Iranian man, what is your feeling right now that about the U.S. now having within its sights, war, you know, wanting to instigate war in Iran. I mean, we know that they've been beating the war drums for quite some time.
Right.
And now, you know, things, you know, seem to be, you know, heating up with, we saw this Mexican drug cartels and this, that, and the other. Bogus.
It was literally something lifted out of one of Glenn Beck's tirades. Like, I mean, this is the thing that, like, right-wing talk radio has been putting out there for years, which is, you know, Iran in league with Hugo Chavez and the illegal aliens and the Mexican drug cartels and Hezbollah. They're coming across the border, and they're going to do something. They're going to blow up America or take over America or something like that. It's literally like if someone in the State Department had been listening to these programs and decided that, you know, we'll concoct some crap and put it out there, you know, based on what we're hearing. It's a complete fraud and a total joke. And what's beginning to emerge is that the people who are involved in this campaign, well, first of all, one of them is a small-time hustler who wanted to make a lot of money off a drug deal. That's it. And the other guy who was put out there as having some sort of connection with the Quds Force, the Revolutionary Guard, is actually someone who's a member of the Mujahideen, of the People's Mujahideen organization, which is this dissident group, group that was based out of Iraq during the years of the Iran-Iraq War. Saddam Hussein basically set them up in a camp in Iraq called Camp Ashraf, and from there they carried out military attacks against Iran. They're widely hated throughout Iran by all segments of society. They have no credibility with anyone except for U.S. and European governments. Like, their base of support is in the Congress, the People's Mujahideen Organization. That's where their base of support is. with neocons and with liberals alike. You know, that's where they draw their support from. And they're the ones who've been putting out the majority of the misinformation and propaganda directed at Iran over the last decade, beginning with the fact in 2002, one of their spokesmen were putting out like that Iran is like weeks away from developing nuclear weapons or whatever. So this is the group that is behind this latest, you know, joke and fraud of a scare tactic, you know, by the U.S. government. You know, the fact that Obama and Hillary can get out there, you know, and speak of this with in complete seriousness reflects how little respect they have for the intelligence of the American public. They have no respect for it if they're actually putting this out there in a serious way, talking about it like it's something serious. And maybe they shouldn't have any respect. I don't know, but it's a joke from beginning to end. And as far as the war drums beating, you're right, they've been beating for years. Syria is part of that campaign. My thing is, I don't think they're going to go after Iran first. I think they are going after Syria, and it's going to continue to heat up. And if and when Syria falls, they're going to go after Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon. And only then will they go after Iran. If they succeed in neutralizing all of these movements, then they'll go after Iran. I don't think they're going to go after Iran right away. God willing, they'll fail every step of the way. And I truly believe that they will fail. I believe there's just such a thing as justice and righteousness, and that the enemies of justice and righteousness will meet their demise in Lebanon and in Syria and in Iran, as they have in Iraq. Iraq is a victory, and people need to celebrate it. Iraq is a victory. 5,000 mercenaries left in Iraq. Yeah, that's not good, but that's nothing compared to the plans that they had for Iraq originally. And the victory goes to the resistance first and foremost in Iraq. You know, the marches in the U.S. were great, but the victory, the credit for the victory goes to the Iraqi resistance, specifically to the Mahdi army and to Sayyid Muqtada al-Sadr, and that needs to be acknowledged. So anyway, that's my long way of responding to what you were saying about Iran.
Right, and you're saying that if it did find its way to Iran eventually, yeah. What would the, in your estimation, what would be the global ramifications of?
They would literally have to be insane. The global ramifications would be beyond anything that they can that we can conceive of. Iran is not just going to sit there and allow itself to be attacked. And the global ramifications will be massive. Specifically, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that, but I mean it's going to be massive. And it's not something. If sane people are actually sitting behind and evaluating things, they won't do it. They won't do it. And you know, if anybody in power has learned any lessons from Iraq, they won't do it.
Right.
The victory of the Iraqi resistance also goes hand in hand with a victory by Iran. Iran has provided a lot for the Iraqi resistance, and and it was just a very small part of what they can do.
Right.
Lebanon, the victory of the Lebanese resistance, again, a small part of what Iran can do. If they do it, they'll regret that decision. They'll regret that decision.
Yeah, yeah. Naveed, before I allow you to leave us with any parting shots as we come to a close for the show in general, you know, on our chat room, I know some are chatting within the chat room asking, you know, how they can, you know, get in contact with you. So I don't know if you want to give out, like, how people can find you on Facebook, you know, if they want to, you know, continue this dialogue with you on Facebook.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You can find me, pretty sure you can find me just by searching my name, Naveed Nassar. That's the first name, N-A-V-I-D, last name Nassar, N-A-S-R. And if you can't, I mean, you can certainly, if you want, you can get my contact info from Solomon. I'm not going to necessarily put it out there on the air right now, but I mean, if you get in touch with Solomon, if you get in touch with Your World News, Solomon, you have my permission to give my contact to someone who wants to get in touch with me, my email address at the very least.
Okay.
So, yeah, my email address. Yeah, that's fine. That's a good way to get in touch with me.
Right. And for your closing comments, what can, in your estimation, as someone who's been a long time activist as you have, what does the person tuning in right now who may not have had this perspective before, what needs to be done from within the empire, from just regular residents or citizens of the U.S. to fight back, to demand justice, to demand an absolute ending of this, and then to have to bring about some kind of justice. And I say that before I let you answer is we see that the ICC is pretty much a joke, because can we expect like NATO to discipline themselves in pretty much their own court,
The only European who has ever been charged by the ICC is Slobodan Milosevic. That's it.
Yeah,
they go after Africans, they go after Latinos, and they go after Middle Easterners, and maybe Asians, but they do not go after. Yeah, it's a joke. It's a complete joke and a travesty. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just saying, what do you think people can do? A couple things I think of is obviously educating yourself,
mm-hmm.
On Libya. So if that's part of your answer, where can people go? I would say one place, definitely go to yourworldnews.org, and also Black Agenda Report. But where are the places people can go, and what are some tangible things people can do to help bring an end to this madness?
Okay, well, I would say, there's several great resources out there on Libya. Black Agenda Report is certainly one. Pan-African Newswire is another one that I recommend for people. Sons of Malcolm, a terrific blog run by a great comrade by the name of Sukhan Chandan, who's a Indian resident of the United Kingdom, all about struggles in the Global South and unity amongst the peoples of the Global South, and has covered this every step of the way. My comrade, who goes by the pseudonym Huey Freeman, has a terrific blog out there, and if you search for his blog, it's Huey. Three man, Huey, the number three, and followed by the word man, one word. If you Google that, and you'll find his blog, another terrific resource out there. For starters, I would also say Global Research. Is another wonderful resource. There is a gentleman whose blog is named Stop NATO, and who puts out volumes of stuff every day. His name is Rick. Why can't I think of his name right now? If you hang on just one second, I'll be able to pull it up. I almost want to say Rick Ross, but I have a feeling like that's not it, and I don't want to confuse anyone with the musician that I have very little respect for. Rick Rozoff. Rick, R-O-Z-O-F-F is his last name, Rick Rozoff, and the blog is called Stop NATO. I highly recommend that also as a wonderful source to counter everything that's been put out there. Voltaire Net, another one.
I'll stop right there. I mean, I could keep going on and on. Oh, you've had Stephen Lenman on your show. He's another person that people should definitely check out as far as like getting to the bottom of things. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for starters, I mean, those are great. Those are great resources. And it's but as far as like what we can each do, not just like read up on it ourselves, but put it out there. Like counter everything that comes out of their mouth. Don't just let it go unchallenged. If your friends are saying things that anger you, that you know is disinformation that they're just repeating by rote, challenge them on it. You know, counter it. Don't just sit there and take it. Don't just sit there and accept it. You know, ask them why. Where are you getting this from? You know, tell them, you know, the facts. You know, don't just let it go by the wayside, because believe me, our silence is what empowers them to do what they did to Libya, to do what they plan on doing to Syria and Zimbabwe and Iran and Venezuela and Bolivia, and I mean, we could go on and on. Sudan, I mean, they've already done it to a certain extent with South Sudan. They plan on replicating the same thing in Darfur. But, I mean, Somalia, what they're continuing to do in Somalia. Our silence is what empowers them, and we need to not be silent. We need to challenge them every step of the way. Every lie that comes out of their mouths needs to be rebuffed. You know, every narrative that they put out there needs to have a counter-narrative that's just as loud as theirs. That's more important than anything else. That's what we can do. That's what we can do. And don't be cowed, because people who consider themselves part of some anti-war movement that really only exists in their head, don't be cowed when they tell you that if you take a certain position, you'll be discredited or you know, you'll lose credibility and you'll lose face. The people that you'll lose credibility with and that you'll be discredited with were never on your side to begin with. Were never on your side to begin with. They want to hear this comforting narrative that they're the good guys and that, you know, all these people who are in the crosshairs, all these nations, they're all bad, you know, and they need to, you know, in some way, you know, then freedom and democracy needs to be brought to these nations. You know, don't be cowed by them. And don't be cowed by that narrative of you'll be discredited and you'll lose credibility, because you never had credibility with those people, and you don't want to have credibility with those people. You don't. It's a badge of honor not to have credibility with people like that, as far as I'm concerned. It's a badge of honor. Don't placate them. Don't mollycoddle them. Don't reinforce their worldviews. Challenge them every step of the way. Confront them every step of the way, because otherwise this keeps happening. This will keep happening. And victory to the Libyan resistance. That's really all I can say.
Right on. Thank you, Naveed. And this is not goodbye. It's see you later, because you'll be on the show many more times to come. But thank you for joining us this afternoon, October 26, 2011. And I'm glad that you came on the show at the height of your resistance. And we all need to continue to keep our minds and bodies sharp so that we can always be at the height of our resistance against this imperialist machine. Because those of us that reside within the U.S., we have an obligation, a moral obligation, to resist every step of the way, because literally people's lives, you know, within the U.S. and abroad, literally depend on it. So thank you for coming on, Naveed. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Solomon. It's my pleasure. Always enjoy being on your program.
Likewise. And so that was Naveed Nasser, and I see from one of our bloggers in the chat room also suggested Mahtaba.net. That's MAHTAB.net. That's MAHTAB.net. And also Asian Top Source. And when you go there, look up Pablo Escobar. He's a writer for the Asian Times and provides a really good narrative and not just narrative, but also like information. I mean, he does some really good journalistic work. And then go online and just go to YouTube and you type in Russia Today if you want to see some. If you're in an area that doesn't get Russia Today, they provided and continue to provide a great deal of balanced news coming out of Libya, and the rest of the world. But in terms of Libya, their coverage has been far above and beyond that of Al Jazeera, who, along with Democracy Now!, have exposed themselves. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today, whether it's today, the 26th of October, or if you're listening in archive, and please take this show and spread the spread information far and wide. And also, before you get off, the correct address is for Mataba is mathaba.net. That's mathaba.net. Okay, and as I said, we have a moral obligation to continue to resist and demand an end to these imperialists, and in many cases, in addition to imperialists, racist, white supremacist wars of aggression on countries throughout the world, countries who had the audacity to provide self-sufficiency and relief from, you know, for having the burden of the Western powers on their back and on the backs of their people. And their punishment is invasion, targeted assassination, mass killing, and unfortunately, all of those things that we listed before in the beginning of the show, such as when David was talking about the free electricity, the newlyweds receiving $50,000, the equivalent of $50,000 U.S., which is $60,000 to 60,000 dinars by the government for any newlyweds in Libya. All these things, the subsidized education, medicine, all these things, if it continues to go as it is with the privatization, when having oil companies like Total and from France privatizing these oil reserves, they can kiss these goodbye. You know, so all those folks that thought, which are the minority, the Libyans that were in support of the NATO bombings and in support of the rebels, they don't get it twisted. They are a part of the minority. The majority of Libyans were not behind this in any shape, form, or fashion. So, but these social safety nets will be completely gone if the U.S. and NATO have their way. They want to privatize everything. They want to, you know, privatize it, you know, to the ilk, you know, kind of like Augusto Pinochet style, coming straight from the U.S. and Henry Kissinger and all those other devils. So, anyways, this is Solomon for Your World News, and let's take us out with an old tune. This is Boogie Down Productions called Build and Destroy. Listen for the Libya reference in this song. And this song came out, about 20-plus years ago. But this is one of the classic hip-hop tunes and shows you the power of hip-hop. That's why the mainstream media continues to suppress radical progressive hip-hop while at the same time promoting, you know, the racist stereotypical images of black and brown-skinned people, you know, talking about the degradation of black and brown women and senseless violence. That's what they do. They don't provide this kind of music right here. See you next time on Your World News.
Yeah. Woo! Hey, yo, Will.
What's up, Kenny?
I got a serious problem, man.
What's the problem?
Yo, after all these years of ripping shit, these suckers still try to front.
But check us out. We've been on tour with everybody, so I don't know why
everybody.
They're still fronting.
Yo, I'll be in every party. I'll be in every gym. I see their faces, and they look at me in front.
They come to every show and know we break shit up all the time.
You know what?
What?
Yo, Chris, what's your opinion?
Yo, I love the way I am, and can't nobody out here change me. Rearrange me, change me, try to game me. Don't blame me when I grab the mic and shock the party spot. Your rhymes are flip-flop. I rock hip-hop, non-stop, man, I stop rock. You can touch this, but you'll get shot. Now what's this all about? Christian humanity. In my face, you have to be on vinyl, you're mad at me. Yo, pro-blackness is your solution, but I don't really know about that song you using. Yo, too many teachers in the class spoiled the school. After a while, you got blabbering fucking fools. That person always talking about sex, that's filled. It ain't enough to study clown in 13X. The white man ain't
the devil, I promise. You wanna see the devil, take a look at Clarence Thomas. Now you're saying who? Like you were owl, throwing the towel. The devil is Colin Powell. You talk about being African and being black. Colin Powell's black. Bolivia, he'll attack. Libya's in Africa. But a black man will lead a black man to fight against his homeland. An accomplice to the devil is the devil too. The devil is anti-human. Who the hell are you? A lecture in rap without rehearsal. A manifest as a black man, but a universal. The capital K, small R-I-S. Capital P, small A-R. Capital K, small E-R. We are the star. Without the use of a car, we go far. I build and destroy.
Yes, sir. Sir. So why are such jealous of me? No, Will. Now don't get mad. It's fresh, man. Come on.
Don't ever try to challenge me, leave me.
Man, just shut the fuck up, man.
This shit is crazy. Your remarks don't face me. People have a problem with me because I ain't lazy. I talk on vinyl, then I ask. What have you done but I critique KRS-One? I zero in like a laser. You're cutting your wrist with a razor. I got all